On this episode of The Edge podcast, ClearEdge CEO Leslie Vickery sits down with Joyce Russell, president of Adecco Staffing US. Joyce shares how she got started in the staffing industry over 30 years ago, why generosity and grit are two of her favorite leadership traits, how to gain self-confidence, and what Joyce wants to leave behind as her Adecco legacy. Joyce also shares the 10-10-10 rule by Susie Welch, thinking how a decision will affect you in 10 minutes, 10 months, and 10 years, and how that rule puts decisions into perspective in both Joyce's personal and professional life. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Welcome, everyone. This is Leslie Vickery. I am the CEO and founder of ClearEdge Marketing, and I am absolutely thrilled today to be at the Edge podcast with Joyce Russell, president of Adecco Staffing US. Welcome, Joyce.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
So it's an honor to feature you on our podcast, and I say that sincerely because you are such a well-known leader in our industry, and many people look up to you, including myself, so I look forward to learning from you here today. I first heard you present at Bullhorn Engage 2 years ago. You were on stage with Art, the CEO and founder of Bullhorn, and this year you were actually the keynote. So I knew when you were the keynote, I had to meet you and have you on the Edge. And I really owe Robin Mee a huge thanks for that from Mee Derby. She went out of her way to make sure that we met. And here we are now sitting here together in person. So
it's great to be here in Chicago with you.
Thank you. I have so many questions for you, Joyce, but actually I'd like to start from the beginning of your career. So many listeners, I'm sure, are familiar with you, but some may not be. So perhaps you could share a little bit about your journey and your background. How did you get started in the staffing industry? And did you always have career ambitions of one day being the president of a company?
So I graduated from Baylor University and went home to Pompano Beach, Florida, where I was born and raised, and was planning a wedding to marry my college sweetheart. And my mom said it's going to take about 6 months to plan this wedding. And in those days, you guys, your mom kind of planned your wedding, right? And you kind of attended. She said, I think you're going to need a little work while you're home for these 6 months. Why don't you think about a temp job? And I have to be honest with you, I didn't know anything about temporary work. So on my way to get my wedding dress, we stopped in a temporary help office, and I walked in, and they said, would you like to work in our office? And I, in those days, said, no, ma'am, I'm moving to Houston, Texas to marry my college sweetheart. And to be honest, Leslie, that didn't work out, but I always said, right, this did. Right. So I ended up not marrying my college sweetheart and getting into this amazing industry that I love, that you matchmake each and every day. You're doing the matchmaking. Somebody's looking for somebody really talented, and you've got a talented person, and you put them together. And honestly, I did not have career aspirations to be the president of the company. I came up through the organization, and it just happened, and I love the role that I'm in today.
Excellent. Well, we have a lot to learn from women like you in the role. I just did a piece for Entrepreneur Magazine on wearing the CEO hat. And growing up in a family, my mom was a CEO, my grandmother was an entrepreneur, and when it came time for me rising up through the ranks to be the CEO, I questioned it and felt like an imposter at some point. So it's nice to learn from others who kind of go through rising up the ranks and going into their role and hearing from them. And you talk about personal courage. What are some of your other favorite leadership traits?
I like generosity and generosity with time. I believe that you vote with your time, and I say that each and every day. And like doing this, it's really important for me to be here with you today and doing this podcast that maybe somebody out there listening will grow from this podcast and learn something. So I say generosity is. The other thing I talk a lot about right now is grit. And I've got a lot of young mothers and dads who work for me, and I think that we've got to make sure that we make our kids and the people that work for us a little bit gritty right now, and that they could work through difficult challenges. So, you know, I always say when going gets tough, the tough get going. It's going. And the other thing that I love, I have a really good friend, Billie Jean King, and she says that pressure is a privilege. So I think that we really need to make sure that we have that grit and can get through those pressure situations. So generosity and grit would be the two.
All right. Personal courage, generosity, and grit. Something that you have mentioned before, I may have read it somewhere, where you said that your dad told you, Joyce, don't let anyone or anything change who you are. And that's the personal courage piece, that you feel true to yourself and your values. That really struck a chord with me, because
I feel like a lot of times women can change throughout their life and people influence them in different ways to change, whether it be confidence, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. My niece is going into her senior year in high school, and as part of a senior retreat, we had to write a letter to them with kind of our advice and feedback to them. And the number one piece of advice I gave her was, don't let anyone change who you are, because you can see at that young age how easy it is for people to change that. So I love that your father's the one who gave you that advice, and I hope one day my niece remembers that as well.
I have to use that a lot, because you'll be in situations, you know, that you think that someone's looking for a different you in that situation, and so you need to be authentic. And so I always hear him in my mind saying, don't let anybody or anything change who you are, because situations can make you feel like you need to change who you are. But I think you're most comfortable when you can be authentically you.
I agree. Thank you for that. So I was reading an article when basically prepping for this podcast, and when you were first named president some 12 years ago, an interview asked you what personal imprint you'd like to leave with the company. You answered by talking about growing your people, and that in turn it would grow the company. So let's fast forward now today, so 12 years later, knowing what you know now, would you answer the question the same way? And a follow-up to that would be, what do you want to be your Adecco legacy?
Ah, so you're right. I think talent and people is the biggest rock in my jar, and I wake up every day knowing that. And I'm here in Chicago today with one of our leaders, and I told her that in Starbucks. We were sitting there, and I said, you know, top grade in every hire you make, and you need to be really good at attracting and hiring talent. So I still think it's the most important job I have as a leader, is to develop and grow our people. I think it's the DNA, and it will determine everything about us. It determines everything about our company. And that, so I so believe in hiring the very best people, but investing in them. It was great that my dad was a farmer, because you fertilize people and they grow. And it was great when we went back to college. My mom went back to teach. And so I think it's great to teach and grow people. So I think I have the best of both worlds, having a mom that was a teacher and a dad that was a farmer, so that I can invest and grow people and leave a legacy in this industry. And I think you and I talked about some of the people that I've had the opportunity to work with, and Penny Queller, you know, great leader at Monster now, or Linda Pernod, who's leading an organization here in the U.S., or Jeanette Marks.
So our I've had the opportunity. CEO,
yeah, I know. I know. So I think you and I talked about, you know, did I want to keep them all within our company? And yeah, it was great to have them all here, and I wish they were all still here, but it's great to see them flying and running other amazing companies. So I think you have to let your kids grow and fly, and I think you have to let your amazing people sometimes do the same thing.
Right. Well, it's a true testament to your leadership style, the fact that you've been able to help and grow and mentor some of the strongest, not only women, just the leaders in our industry. It really speaks volumes to who you are. And you're good at what you do. You are, Joyce. You walked in, you asked me, who's the strongest people in the room in your meetings? And who, you know, you're good at what you do. And that's why you're the president.
People.
Exactly.
The other thing I want people to think, I think you raise your right arm, and I mean right hand, and you look at your hand. And I always say, I always lay my hand down, and like your handprint. Will they know you were there? I know that when I leave Adecco, that they will know that I was here and I made an impact. And that's super important in life, whether it be your family make that impact or your company make that impact. But raise your right hand and look at your handprint, and will they know that you were there?
Oh, I love that. Thank you. So many tips and advice we can take away from this. So I guess, what advice would you have? So you mentioned this already. And you may not realize this, you know, I think it's hard sometimes to look at yourself and see different things, but what people see in you is a true leader and an inspiration for us. So as you sit on stages and keynote or have such funny conversations, you know, for example, at Engage with Art, your rapport is phenomenal. People really look up to you and learn from you. What advice would you have? So let's say you've left that imprint at Adecco and with other people and leaders who have gone to other companies. What advice would you have for the new women, up-and-comers entering our industry? What advice would you have for them as far as advancing within our industry?
So I'm a pretty hard worker, and I like to work hard. So I think that that's still really, really important. I always tell my children, you know, it's great that you made a good SAT score or your college grades, but if you don't know how to work, it won't work. And I think I said that on the bullhorn stage, and it was tweeted out. I think the most powerful leadership tool you have is your own personal example. And I take this role very, very seriously. I am the brand every single day. So whether I'm on a flight and sitting next to someone or standing in Starbucks this morning, I was getting a coffee. It took a really long time here in Chicago, but I tried to be patient, you know what I mean? Because I was a role model. The person standing next to me, who was with our company, like, okay, she's not going to lose it today in the Starbucks, which I could have. I think you need to stay very involved in the business and hands-on. I don't fake this role. I'm very involved in the business each and every day, and I take it very seriously about our results and the talent around me. I think it's really important to over-communicate. So when I'm in an office here today, I've met with all the staff here and open communication. I'm not that leader who just walks through the office and goes into an office and closes the door. Over-communication. I'm a really nice person, and I think that's really important to be a nice person and to say thank you and be appreciative, because I've not done this alone. I've done this with an amazing group of people, and I think be a doer. I always say I'm not a talker, I'm actually a doer, and so I think that's really important. And I think leadership is about your ability to bring people along with you, and so that's been really fun, and I love to deliver results. So those are just a few things.
Just a few things. Fantastic. Well, one of the things that I hear a lot about is confidence. And we touched on it a little bit earlier about wearing the CEO hat and being the president of a company and working your way up the ranks. As you know, I co-founded a group called ARA. It stands for Attract, Retain, and Advance Women in Technology. We have 6,000 men and women who are part of our program, and we conduct an annual survey. The number one piece of advice men and women alike had for women was to be confident. You come across as very confident, and you have managed what I would argue, and we've talked about here, some of the most confident women in our industry, and at least on the surface, appearing confident. Sometimes you don't always feel confident. So people will say that to me all the time. You come across very confident. You can talk to anyone. You're up on stage speaking. And I'll say, you know what? Some days I'm not feeling that confident. I have to take a moment and remember who I am and where I came from and how I got here. And you know, I also struggle with it sometimes. So I often talk about Amy Cuddy, and she has a wonderful TED Talk about power posing and faking it until you make it. So I guess all of that lead up is my question for you is, have you always been this confident? And is there anything you would share with women on the topic of being confident and just having a voice and being their own career champion?
So the answer is no. I can remember a former global CEO saying, Joyce, you're so quiet and your performance is good. So you're being selfish, not sharing. And when he said that to me, I was never trying to be selfish. I just was quiet because I wasn't confident. Mm. And so then I realized I need to be generous and to help others. I needed to share more. So I had to build that confidence. And so I love what Amy Cuddy says. She actually says, fake it till you become it. Mm-hmm. Instead of fake it till you make it, fake it until you become it. So one of the things I do to build confidence up is I do research. I know the audience. I study and do the due diligence before. So I become more confident in meeting you. I might have, you know, Googled you or looked on LinkedIn and found more about you so I could find a connection to you. So we immediately I had that confidence in meeting you. So I think you have to do that. I'm naturally optimistic, and that's a good thing. And I'm naturally an extrovert. So that makes you be a little bit more confident. But I'm a lifelong learner. I think you have to be really curious, and I'm attention to detail. So I'm going to find something about each one of the people I'm meeting and try to have that immediate connection so it'll give me that confidence.
Right. You know what, audience listening, you heard it maybe first here. Joyce hasn't always been confident, but the thing that I love about it is you are so authentic and real and opening up and telling your own personal stories and how you perhaps overcome that one moment, that one story, the word quiet, and feeling like, what can I do to really make a difference? Because that's what I'm here to do. So thank you for being open and sharing that. One of your stories that hits home for me, being a newish mom, I have a 2-year-old son, Grayson. He's almost 2.5. We waited a while to have children. I was 42 when I got pregnant, and I'm now 45. And I travel a lot for work. The first half of my pregnancy, I believe I traveled every week. We were, for Ara alone, let alone running a company, ClearEdge, we had 26 events a year that myself and my two co-founders, Megan McCann and Jane Hamner, we were all traveling to because we were so passionate about helping women and men alike along the diversity lines that I had to really take a step back and look at commitments and so forth and not take a step back, but to think about what am I doing. And something you said really have stuck out to me when you talk about work-life integration. So the 10-10-10 rule by Susie Welch, you talk about playing out in your mind how a decision will affect you in 10 minutes, 10 months, and 10 years, and that it will truly change the way you think. And what stood out to me most was a story about your son, Coleman. I've heard you tell it twice now, and I have to say I cried both times. And I'll try to hold back tears, but you know what? It may come out today too. So let's start by hearing the story, as I truly believe it helps from that integration standpoint, just putting things into perspective. And after you tell the story, I'd love to know, has your son ever heard you tell the story?
Yeah, so Coleman has heard me tell the story. So So we helped launch the book 10-10-10 with Susie Welch many, many years ago. And she talks about how will this affect me in 10 minutes, how will this affect me in 10 months, and how will this affect me in 10 years. And little did I know that when we helped her launch the book, when Coleman was probably 3 or 4 years old, that this would really change my life when he was 18. So when Coleman was a senior in high school, he was a very good lacrosse player. He was one of the top lacrosse players in the state of North Carolina. And as a working mom, I tried to make many, many of those games. So when he was a senior, he said to both David and myself, I really would like you at all of my home games at Providence Day. It sounds easy, you all, but it wasn't that easy. They were on 4:30s on a Thursday afternoon at Providence Day, and I travel about 90% of the time in my role. So that meant I had to land about 2:30, you know, flight can be late, and get to the field and be on the field for that game. And as life would have it, I promised him that I would be at those 6 home games with his father. We'd always made one of the games, one of us, but he wanted both of us on the field to see him play. So a terrible thing happened in Asia. There was a tsunami that year that happened in Asia, and the parts could not get to one of the plants where we have about 2,600 temporary help workers that work in that plant to make these amazing automobiles. And the president of that company said, I need to fly from Asia, and I need you to be in that town with me to make the decision on what we're going to do with these 2,600 workers. It was our largest account in the company. It was exactly the time that I had told Coleman that I would be at one of those games. So I 10-10-10'd it. In 10 minutes, when I would have told Coleman that I wouldn't be at the game, he would have sadly said to me, Mom, you've always chosen Adecco. And it breaks my heart just to kind of tell the story. And then I felt in 10 months that he would be driving a car fast as a 17-year-old would, or having a beverage that he maybe shouldn't have tried. And he would have said back to me, well, you didn't do what you said you were going to do. So I'm not going to do what I said I was going to do. And then I felt in 10 years, which is exactly today, 27 years, he's 27 years right. old, I would be standing there at his rehearsal dinner, and he'd be looking across the room at me, and he'd say, you know what? We get to pick now when you see us and when you get to see probably your right. grandchildren one day. So on the flip side, in 10 minutes, when I told this customer that I couldn't be there, that I had a family commitment that I needed to make, they said, that's all right. Could you send somebody else that could make the right decision? And I sent an amazing leader to that customer that day. And it also empowered her mm-hmm. to let her know that I thought that she could do just as good a job, if not better than me, in that moment. So I actually had a win-win in that. And then 10 months later, I apologized to them, and they said, that's all right. She did an amazing job, and you know, we knew what to do with those workers. And then 10 years later, we still had that customer, and nothing changed. But what did change is my relationship with Coleman. I have an amazing relationship with that child today, and I know that I'll get to see he and his wife a lot, and right. I'll get to see those grandchildren one day. But you're all going to have that moment, I'm just going to tell you, where you've got a 10-10-10 it. You're going to have to tell the company that you can't do something that's more important because it's family or friends, or you're going to have, on the other side, you're going to have to tell family sometime that you need to do something with the company. But just remember that from Susie Welch. How will this affect me in 10 minutes? How will this affect me in 10 months? And how will this affect me in 10 years? So it changed my life, that 10-10-10.
Well, I can attest it's changed a lot of lives, including my own. And it's not only the big decisions and big moments. Sometimes it's those daily moments that you have with your children and being present. It's interesting. So you have two boys, and people know that I'm very passionate about, obviously we do the Women in Recruitment podcast. We sponsor a lot of events in the industry, speak at many companies on the topic of diversity, and co-founded ARA. And one of the questions I get asked all the time is, don't you wish you had a girl? And I had a boy, of course. And they said, don't. And I literally, Joyce was standing. I went to a luncheon and I brought Grayson up on stage with me when he was, what, Emily, maybe 4 or 5 months old. And I brought him out to the audience to present him. And people actually would ask, don't you wish you had a girl? And I would say to them, no. And to the point of what you're talking about, how fortunate Coleman and his brother are to have been raised by such a strong woman, but also to be in a household of equals and to see what it's like to have a husband and wife, a mother and father, treat each other as equals in a home and to be raised in such a way that they can see that. So now as they get older and they see that, it's how we are going to impact change.
Oh, and I know, absolutely.
You mentioned this was critical to you. It's something I talk about all the time, is that it's going to take generations to make change. And your sons are very fortunate to have you. I like to think Grayson's fortunate to have me. All of these boys are so fortunate to see what it's like to have a strong mom and presence in the workforce, but also what it's like to treat a woman properly and how to be equals with their significant others.
Absolutely. So. And Coleman's girlfriend today is a working woman in New York City and a financial analyst. And so I see their partnership. I also picked a really good man too, David, to help in this journey. And so I think they've seen good role models as mom and dads.
Exactly.
In that. So I think it's been a partnership. I was like, you want bath or dishes?
Right.
You
exactly. Right.
I'll take the leftover.
Right. Which chief are you today? Chief cleaner,
exactly.
Cooking officer? Like what is it today?
Exactly.
So Joyce, I like to end the podcast by putting our guest on the spot a little bit to have some fun. So those of us who are, you know, getting to know you and so forth, perhaps you could tell us one thing we don't already know about you that others would find surprising.
Ah, so if I'm not doing this at home, at work, I'm probably having you to my house. And I have what's called the gift of hospitality. So I love to cook. I make a mean carrot souffle. And so I love the gift of friendship and having people over in my house and the gift of hospitality. And I like to play games. So if you come to my house and you come at the holidays, you might pick a Christmas ornament out of the basket, and you have to match that to where you sit at the table.
Oh,
or I have a set of spoons that have all the states on them, and so there'd be a map all crumpled in the front, and you'd have to pick Idaho
and go
find the spoon to Idaho.
Wow.
So I'm always like doing crazy things when I have a dinner party, and I want people to come and have amazing food and amazing fellowship and develop a relationship in my house. So that's something you don't know about me.
It's a cherry on top.
It's
you do it at work
top.
And you do it at home. I love it. That's
I do.
Great.
I do. And people that don't know that cherry on top philosophy, but it's about how do you do things in life but do it just a little bit better than anybody would have expected it to. That little extra kindness. So one of my assistants in the office was going to get her hair done, and I'll end on this, and I wanted to do a cherry on top. So I called the salon, and the card read this when she got there. She gave you those gray hairs, so she might as well pay to cover them up.
Oh, Jesus.
And so I paid for her hair to get highlighted.
Oh, I love
but that.
That
was a cherry on top.
Oh, that's a great story. Thank you so much.
It's
Thank
wonderful
you
to be here with you.
For joining us. How people may want to get advice on, it could be work, their career, or maybe even the hospitality side of your life now.
The carrots to play recipe.
Tips, I know. We might need the recipe. How could people get in touch with you, Joyce?
So I answer every phone call and every email every single day. So it's obviously joycerussell@adecona.com. And I'd love to hear from anybody and how I could help them.
Excellent. Thank you so much again.
Thanks a bunch.
Thanks for listening to this week's The Edge episode. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. And you can also email me at etatum, T-A-T-U-M, at clearedgemarketing.com and let me know if you have any questions or if you want to hear about anything in particular as it relates to our Women in Staffing series or our marketing episodes. So just shoot me an email and I look forward to connecting with you. Thank you.